We're in the middle of Torah Tes and Likutei Moran, Chelek Aleph. In our Likutei Moran, it's page 26, the left-hand column, all the way towards the bottom of the page, where Rabbein Ezal quotes the Gemara in Baba Basra. Till now, in this Torah, Rabbein Ezal spoke about the topic of Tefillah. Rabbein Ezal started off by saying that the main chiyus of a person comes from tefillah. He spoke about the fact that each one of the 12 shvotim has their own nusach ha-tefillah, their own path, their own shar, through which the tefillah goes up to Shemayim. He spoke about parnosa and a zivug coming through tefillah. And he also spoke about the fact that it's a very great zechus for a person to be zeche that the tefillah should go through the right shar. And he spoke about the fact that one of the ways that a person is zeichet to that is by attaching their tefillah to the tzaddik hador. The tzaddikim are the ones who know how to be mechaven the shorim of tefillah for each one of the shvotim. And one of the other things Rabbein Ezal mentioned was the fact that at the time a person gets up to daven, a lot of times a person finds themselves surrounded with machshavos zoros and klipos, outside thoughts that block the tefillah from going through to Hashem. And Rabbein Ezal said the secret to having the tefillah be able to break through this choshech, this darkness, is emes. That a person has to see to it to draw himself to the emes. And this emes serves as a light that helps the person to be able to crawl out of this choshech that he finds himself in when he's surrounded by these outside thoughts during tefillah. This is sort of a synopsis of what we've had so far in this Torah in Likutei Moran. Now Rabbein Ezal quotes a Gemara in Baba Basra, a story with Rabba Bar Bar Chana, and Rabbein Ezal is going to show how all the concepts that he discussed till now are found in this story in the Gemara. The Gemara says in Baba Basra, Dafayin Gimel Amid Beis, Omar Rabba Bar Bar Chana, Rabbein Ezal begins with the words Vezeh Pirush, that everything that we've learned till now is an explanation of a story with Rabba Bar Bar Chana. Omar Rabba Bar Bar Chana, Zimna Chodo Havako Azlinan B'Madbara. This rabbi said, one time I was going in a desert, V'isluye Bahadon Hahutayo, and a certain Arab merchant joined us on this trip. Dahavi Shokil Afra, and this Arab merchant would take dirt, umayrachle, and he would smell it, the omar, and he would say, ho urcho leduchto plan, v'ho urcho leduchto plan. They were walking in the desert, and in the desert there's no street signs up necessarily to show you which way to go. And this tayo, this Soichri Yishmoel, was able, by picking up the sand and smelling it, he was able to tell which direction everything was in. He was able to figure out the paths. Amrinan le, we said to him, Kamo merchakinon mimaya. How far are we from water right now? If you're able, by smelling the sand, to be able to tell exactly where everything is, could you tell us how far we are from water? Va'omar lon, he said to us, Hovuli afra. Give me some dirt. Give me some of this dirt. Let me smell it and I'll tell you. Yehavinon lei, we gave it to him. Omar lon, and he said to us, Merchakinon tmanyo parsi, that right now you're 8 parsi away from water. A parsa is 4 mil. A mil is something like a mile. So when he said 8 parsa, it means something like 32 miles, approximately. Then the Gemara says, Taninon, we repeated this procedure, v'yahavinan lei, and we gave him dirt again. In other words, we traveled a little further, and then we gave him some dirt again to smell. Omar lon, and he said to us this time, demerchakinon tloso parsi, that we're only 3 parsa away from water right now. We've traveled 5 parsa closer. If chaslei, we wanted to see if he really knows what he's doing or he's guessing. So we tried switching some sand on him. They had saved some of the earliest sand and they gave him that to smell. V'lo yochlislei. And we couldn't trick him. We couldn't beat him, like. In other words, we saw that he definitely did know what he was doing in smelling this dirt, and he was able to tell whether the dirt was actually from this place or from a different place. And this is how he was able to tell us exactly where we were and where we were going to. Rashbam, Taya, Secher Yishmoel. The word Taya is the Aramaic word for an Arab merchant. Vahavchinon, Hai Afro Bahai Afro. We tried switching some of the earlier dirt with some of the dirt from this place now. Linasoisoi, to test this merchant to see if he could really tell the difference. Imiya Boki Kol Kach, to see if he was really knowledgeable to know the difference between the two, and we saw that he was. This is the story as it's brought in the Gemara. Now Rabbi Nizal explains. Zimne Chodo Havakazlina Bamadboro Islavu Bahadon Hahu Tayo. What does this Arab merchant represent? Soicher Yishmoel Zebechinas Tzadik Hador. The Soicher Yishmoel in this story represents the leading tzaddik of the generation. Shehu kolul kol hatfilois. He is the combination of all the different tfilois of Klal Yisrael. Kimoshiach. Just as Moshiach is going to be kolul from all the tfilois of Klal Yisrael. If you recall, we learned earlier in Torah Beis in Likut Imran that Moshiach is called Ruach Apeinu Moshiach Hashem. Moshiach is called this Ruach Af, and Rabbi Nizal explained that the Ruach Af represents tefillah, because there's a pasuk in Yeshaya where the pasuk says Utehilosi Echtamloch, a pasuk relating tefillah and the chaytem, the nose, so that when Moshiach is called Ruach Apeinu Moshiach Hashem, and there are also other psukim, the Gemara says that Moshiach will be Meirach Vadoin, he'll be able to smell the truth. This means that Moshiach represents the klolius of tefillah. The shlemus, he's the composition of all the tefillos of all of Klal Yisrael put together. That's going to be the makeup of Moshiach. He's going to carry all of that in his bag, and that's what he's going to be used to be koivesh all the melchomois, all the conquerings that he's going to do, and everything is going to come through his koyach ha-tefillah, by his being composed of all the tefillos of all of Bnei Yisrael. So Rabbi Nizal says here that the Tzadik Hador is also composed of all the tefillos of Bnei Yisrael. Utfilois zebechinas Secher Yishmoel. Tefillos represents this Arab merchant, Kemoshe Kosuv, as the Posuk says, why was Yishmoel given the name Yishmoel? Ki Shoma Hashem Elonyech. The Malach told Hagar that when this child will be born to you, give the child the name Yishmoel, because this child is going to be proof to you that Hashem has listened to your prayers, to your tefillos. So we see that Yishmoel represents tefillah. The targumoi, the targum on that posuk, Shoma Hashem el onyech, person could say it means that Hashem heard her pain. The targum says, Kibel Hashem tzloisech, that Hashem has accepted your tefillah. So we see clearly that Yishmoel represents tefillah. Vizeh soicher, and the word soicher, which means a merchant, soicher also represents tefillah. Ki soviv targumai schor. Because in the Chumash, whenever we have the word soviv, which means round or around, the targum on it is the word schor, which is like the word soicher. Vizeh b'chinas emuna. And we know that round represents emuna, kamay shekosuv ve'emunoscho svivoisecho. The pasuk says that your emuna will encircle you. So we see that emuna is soviv, and we know that emuna and tefillah are synonymous. We learned that before. The pasuk said vayhi yodov emuna, and the targum said prison bitzloi, that his hands were outstretched in tefillah. So therefore, emuna and tefillah are synonymous. So if emuna is called soviv, ve'emunascha svivoisecha, then tefillah is also called soviv, around. And therefore, the word schor, which is the Aramaic word for round, corresponds to this term secher, which means merchant. Those two words are spelled identical, the same way. So that this term secher Yishmoel is actually a code referring to tefillah. So when it says that an Arab merchant accompanied them, this refers to the Tzadik HaDoer, who's kolol from all the tfilos of Bnei Israel. The Islavuye Bahadon Hahutayo, this Arab merchant accompanied us. Shekosharnu es atzmenu im Tzadik HaDoer. This means we attached ourselves. Levoyo means to accompany. The word Levi also means dveikus. The pasuk says that why did they give him the name Levi? Hapam yilove ishi elai. Now Leah said, my husband will become solidly attached to me. So when it says that this tzaddik was nislava with them, it means they were makasher themselves to this tzaddik. Shehu bechinas Moshiach, klolius hatfila. This tzaddik represented Moshiach, who is the klolius hatfila. Vishokil afro, and this tzaddik took dirt, umoirach, and he smelled it, viomar, and he said, ha urcha leduchto plan, ha leduchto plan, that this path leads in this direction, this path leads in a different direction. Rabbein Azal says now, afro zebechinas tefila. Dirt, in this case, represents tefillah. K'moy shekosuv, as the pasuk says, yitain ke'ofor charboi, that his sword laid them out like dirt. In other words, he slaughtered them with his sword and he put them down to the ground. Yitain ke'ofor charboi. So we see that the cherev creates ofor. What is cherev? The cherev zebechinas tefila, kemo shekosuv becharbi ubekashti. That Yaakov Avinu said, I did all my conquering with my sword, and the Gemara says the cherev there refers to tefila. Roimemo is kel bigroinam, the cherev pifio is biodom. The pasuk says they carry a double-edged sword in their hand. What's the double-edged sword? The tefila, which is composed of two parts, shvochei shalmokoim shilas srochov. So that here when it says that he was smelling the dirt, ofor represents tefillah. Yitain ke'ofor charboi. We know also, the Medrash says, that when Avram Avinu went to battle against the four kings who had beaten the five kings, what did he go to battle with? With tefillah. He used his koyach ha-tefillah. What happened as a result of his tefillah? A miracle happened that he picked up dirt to throw at them, to throw at these soldiers, at these four kings. And the Medrash says that each grain of sand that he picked up turned into a sword. So in one shot, he threw a handful of sand at them. This resulted in thousands of swords flying at these enemy soldiers and killing them. We see again that his koyach ha-tefillah resulted in this offer. Umoirach, this tzaddik was smelling it. Kieshloi koyach hazeh lohoriach, this tzaddik possesses the power of smell, al yedei shehu kolol kol hatfilois, through the fact that he's the composition of all the tfilois of Bnei Yisrael. Uchsiv, and the posuk says, utehilosi echtamloch, that tfila is synonymous with the choytim, with the nose. V'omar, and he said, chol leduchto plan. This tzaddik showed us that he knew exactly in which direction each unit of dirt was headed. He knew the paths of the tefillos, the gateways of the tefillos. And he knew, he was able to detect all the tefillos that were coming his way. He was able to sort them out by Shevet and see to it that each person's tefillah would go up to Shemayim via the gateway of their Shevet. V'amrinon lei, and we said to him, Kamo merchakinon mimayo, how far are we from water? This was our question to him. V'omar lon, he said to us, Hovuli afro, give me dirt. V'ovinon lei, we gave it to him. Omar lon, he said to us, Tmanya parsi, 8 parsa. Taninon, we repeated this again a distance later. For Yovinale, we gave it to him again. Omarlon, and he said to us, Tlosa Parsi, now you're only 3 parsa away. Ifchaslev, Vloyochlisle, we tried switching it on him, and we couldn't confuse him. Rabbein Azal explains now, Hainu Amrinonle, Kamo Anan Merchakinon Mimaya. We said to this tzaddik, how far are we from water? This means mibchinas shifchi kamayim libech noichach pnei Hashem. When does a Jew know that they've achieved shlemus hatfilah? When the person is zeichet to pour out his heart before Hashem like water. when it goes as smooth, when his tefillah flows as smoothly as water, the Gemara uses the wording, Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa said that if when my tefillah shgura b'fi, when it's flowing very smoothly from my mouth, but here Rabbeinu Zal is saying even more, when it's flowing smoothly from the heart, when the piv alibo is shoven and the tefillah is flowing from the heart like water, that's when the person knows he's achieved shleimus hatefillah. So their question was, these people were presenting their tefillahs to the tzaddik, and they were asking him, have we yet achieved shleimus hatefillah? You're the master of tefillah. You're the one who knows about tefillah more so than anybody else. Could you tell us how good our tefillah is? And we know that one of the psukim in the Torah that describes the height of tefillah is this pasuk, Shivchi kamayim libech noichach pnei Hashem. Omar lon, so he said to us, Tmanya Bechinois, you're 8 levels away from Shleimus HaTfilah. Hainu, this means Limud HaTorah, that one of the major ingredients that you need to make your tefillah effective is the study of Torah, Shehi Chamisha Chumshei Torah, which is composed of 5 Sforim, the 5 foundations of the Torah, Ushleisha Tfilois, and tefillah is generally classified as 3. Shachris Mincha Arvis represent the Shleimus HaTfilah. The Zohar HaKadosh says that Shin Mem Ayin, which is Shachris Mincha Arvis, is Rosh Tevois Oil Malchus Shamayim. One of the main things that a person does in davening is that the person shows they're accepting upon themselves the Oil Malchus Shamayim. We do that specifically by davening 3 times a day. Not 4, not 2. The Chachomim knew the Torah prescribed 3. There's a reason. There's a certain Shleimus to 3. So this tzaddik said to them, you want to know what Shleimus HaTfilah is all about? It requires 8 units. Torah and Tfilah. The Torah is symbolized by the number 5, and Tfilah, the basics in Tfilah, are symbolized by the number 3. Taninon v'yohavinon lei. The word taninon means we repeated this. The word taninon also means we learned. We went and studied. Taninon loshen limud. That we went out to study Torah real seriously. The achar halimud yohavinon lei lahariach, and afterwards yohavinon lei, we gave again to the tzaddik our tefillah for him to analyze, and we asked him kama merchakinon mizayis habchina shamayim. How far are we now from shleimus hatefillah? The omar lon, and he said to us, tloso parsi. Now all that's left is to be misaking the 3 parsi. Meaning, Hainu shloisha bechinois tefilois. Now you've covered the aspect of Torah, that's b'shleimus. Now you have to concentrate on the tefillah itself. Veheralonu simen alzeh. And this tzaddik showed us a proof that what he was saying was true, that we had not yet achieved shleimus hatefilah. She'adayin lo higanu l'madrega zois, that we haven't yet reached the madrega, she'nispalel kol kach bekavono ad she'nishpoich libeinu lefonov kamayim, to get to the level where a person's pouring out his heart before Hashem like water, that represents the epitome of purity in kavono. How did he show it to us? V'horaya, the proof is ifchis. The Gemara over there says, Ifchis, we tried playing switcheroo on him. Rabbi Nezal explains, Ifchis, kemoy shekosuv, af toshuv, toshiv, chutzur, charboy, v'lo yakim oisoy b'melchoma. You get a person who goes out to war, he goes out to battle, and he goes out with his sword outstretched, he's ready to strike. But then when he sees that he's not strong enough, he's not powerful enough, what is he forced to do? He's forced to return the sword back into its sheath, to put it back, to take the sharp end of the sword and bring it back. Af toshiv tsur charboi, you end up returning the sharp end of the sword, v'loi hakimoisei b'malchoma, and that's because you were not able to stand up in battle strong. That's the ifchis here. Ifchis means we were forced to reverse it. He showed us that our tefillah was not yet b'shleimus by the mere fact that we weren't yet successful in the melchoma. Even though we had the sword, we weren't able to keep swinging with the sword, but rather we were forced to pull back, to bring it back. Ki kol hatfilois im bechinas cherev etzel Moshiach. Because all the tfilois of Bnei Yisrael represent the concept of a sword that Moshiach is going to use to wage his battles. Ve'im hayu hatfilois bebechinas anal, and if the tfilois of Bnei Yisrael were bishleimus, as we explained earlier, if they were the way they were supposed to be, with emes and with all the ingredients, and they were able to go to the right gate, and they had all the shleimus that they needed, bevadai loyhoya meshiv tzur charboi, then certainly this tzaddik would not have been forced to ifchis, to reverse. He would not have been forced to pull back the sword. And by the fact that the tzaddik who represents Moshiach is forced to reverse, to pull back, that shows that the tefillos of Bnei Yisrael are not yet bishlemus. They haven't given him the strength to be able to go out to war and keep going straight ahead without any pulling back at all. This is Rabbeinu Zal's explanation of the story, showing how it ties in with all the things that we learned earlier. Right. What he was implying to them, what this tzaddik was in the beginning when they asked him the first time, he was implying to them that you're at zero, you're at the beginning. And therefore, what you need to start with is Torah, emes, and strengthen yourself solid in Torah, and work on that. And once you've worked on that, then you're going to have to work on your tefillah also. And then once you'll have the combination of those two, you'll be at Shleimus HaTfilah. When they showed it to him the second time, he showed them, after they had learned, he showed them that the learning in Limud HaTorah, you're b'shleimus. However, in Tfilah itself, which is based on three, there you're still lacking. You're still coming up short. That's all it is. And proof that you're coming up short is this ifchis, the fact that we're forced to this toshiv tzur charboi, that the one who's given this sword can't keep moving straight ahead with it. That shows that the tefillah is not yet b'shlemus. What is shlemus tefillah? We're learning about it here, that it requires emes, the three tefillahs here. This concept of three tefillahs could imply the oyer ho-emes that has to be shined into the tefillah. And we know that emes bedavka represents this three. Avram Yitzchok Yaakov, Titein Emes Liyakov, Yaakov who represents the third one, Emes, this Aleph Mem Tov, Roish Toch Soif, this number three, which brings a Shleimus to the Tefillah, that there's still something Chosser from the Tefillah here, and it being able to accomplish what it has to. When it says eight parsa, it's talking about the Chamisha Chumshei Torah and Shachris Minchamarav. Just for a second, I want to read a short paragraph from the Mei HaNachal where he words in the most beautiful, clear way this issue of Shivchi Kamayim Libech Nochach Pnei Hashem. What is it talking about to us in practical terms? In terms of a person getting to Shleimus HaTfilah, it's in the Mei HaNachal, which is just about at the end of the Sefer. There's no page numbers. You have to turn to the page that's entitled Tohemoisi Chasyumu Turates. Whoever can find it, fine. If not, I'm going to read it slowly. The Mei HaNachal says, this is going on the last paragraph in the Mei HaNachal on this chapter on Likutei Moran, Turates. On this Kama Merchakino Mimaya, Mibchinas Shivchi Kamayim Libech. He says, Rotzaloimer, he says, let's clarify this for you a little bit. Ki tzorche ho'odom merubin ma'oid, heim begashmias veim beruchnias. A person's needs, if we were to analyze a person's needs, if each person were to look at himself and stop to think about everything that they need, beruchnias and begashmias, you could come up with a list of a few thousand pages. If you have brains, if you know, if you've been around the world a little bit, and you know what's available in the Olam HaGashmi, you could make a pretty big shopping list. If a person asked you, tell me everything you'd like to have, a person could come up with a nice long list, Begashmias, and Lahavdol Baruchnias, a much longer list. There's a lot of things to ask for. If you look in the Torah, you see there's a lot of ruchnius for a person to reach out for. V'daitom k'tzoro levayer ulefaresh. And yet, a person's own brain is limited in being able to elaborate on this. When you're speaking to Hashem, when you get up to talk to Hashem, person finds that he can't necessarily start talking for a few thousand hours straight, describing to Hashem everything he wants from Hashem. Ubechol eis sheboim lefarish sichosoi, and quite often when a person comes to speak to Hashem, to discuss everything he wants from Hashem, nistam haper, a person finds that his mouth is shut, ad she'enom yecholim lishpoch kamayim es liboy, to the point where a person can't pour out his heart like water, lohitzi bepeh kol ma shechoser loy begufo nefesh, to be able to tell Hashem, to express everything that he feels he's lacking, it begashmias and beruchnias. Avol kishezoichen ladiburei emes, but when a person is zoiche to speak diburim amitiim, oz niftach loy ho'oyer ein soif, then what happens is the infinite light of Hashem opens up to him. Because the Arizal says that Emes represents the totality of all light in existence. Everything that's pure, everything that's good in existence is Nichlal in Emes. Proof is, from Aleph to Tov, that represents totality, complete Shlemus. When a person is zoiche to speak diburim amitiim, really straight from the heart, he starts to talk about himself, to Hashem, and about his situation, ad sheyochoy lekayim shivchi kamayim libech, to the point where it starts flowing. He starts, and it doesn't start so great, but then he opens up, he starts speaking with real emes to Hashem, where suddenly it starts moving, it starts rolling, umefaresh bepiv kol ma shechos aloi beguf onefesh, and he's zoiche to really elaborate, express himself about everything that he's lacking. Sheze ikar shleimus hatfila. That's the ikar shleimus hatfila. When a person is zoiche to be able to really express himself very comprehensively, very thoroughly to Hashem, to say, to describe everything he has to say about himself. Uloze tzrichin gam limud haTorah. And for this, a person also needs knowledge of Torah. Sheze bechinas tmanya parsi. That's this eight parsa that this tzaddik said. Vegam limud haTorah tzorech liyos be'emes. And the person's learning alone is not enough either. Because there's limud of sheker. There are people who are learning with all kinds of false intentions. We once said that the Bnei Yisrocha writes, we say when we're mekadesh delevono, we say about Hashem, Poyel emes, shepu'ulosoy emes, v'lalavona omar shetischadei shateres deferes, etc. What does this mean that we call Hashem Poyel emes, shepu'ulosoy emes? So the Bnei Socher explains, a human being usually, their pu'ulois are not emes. Why? A person goes to work. What's his job? Whatever his job is, he's building a villa. Is his pa'ula of building that villa emes? Is that really his intent? Baloney. That villa he couldn't care less about. As soon as what does he care about? His paycheck. The fact that on Friday, his boss is going to pay him for having played with these bricks and windows and everything. His boss is going to give him his $200 or $500. That's what he's working for. He's not, even though he's putting one brick on top of second brick, that's not really what he's working for. His real intent deep down inside is not the villa at all. Proof is, give him the $1,000 and tell him not to show up at work. You'll see how fast he'll stay home. He doesn't have any problem not coming to work. Because we see that his intent is not truth. So we see, whereas by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's no concept of any ulterior motive. When Hashem gives something to a Jew, again, when a human being gives something to a second human being, usually there's always some concept of return, whether it's a thank you, or whether you expect the other person to invite you for their simcha, all the different examples of where a person is doing a pa'ula, and it's not with total emes, because generally there's some other intent that's tied in with the pa'ula. Proof is, do somebody a favor, and he doesn't say thank you. He says, jump in a lake. We'll see how fast you'll be to do the favor again. So we see again that the pu'ula was tied in a little bit to the thank you. It wasn't a pu'ula that was self, you know, standing by itself totally. There was something else involved. Here also, Rabbi Nizal says that the limud ha-Torah has to be be'emes, be'bechinas toiras emes hoisa befihu. The Torah itself is emes. What do you mean toiras emes? Because there are people who learn Torah and the intent isn't purely for the sake of Hashem, for the kovod of Hashem. In certain cases, it's because the person wants to be able to prove the Torah wrong, chas v'shalom, lekanter, or any other kinds of ulterior motives that a person could have for learning, whatever it is. So here Rabbi Nizal says that the limud also has to be bemes. V'chein tzorech ha'odom laham shichatzmoy kol hayoim. Afilu sheloi b'shas ha'toyrov ha'tfilo rak alo emes. And so too the person has to be sensitive throughout the day. In every move they make, they're talking to people, they're walking in the street to walk with emes. How many people are there that walk a certain way? Because they want people to look at them a certain way, whether he shuffles his feet. The Shulchan Aruch gives all kinds of examples of people who are putting on a show for other people. Their walking is a show, their mannerisms when they eat are a show, their davening, the way they daven is a show, all showtime, not with emes, not with truth, where it's only for Hashem, where if nobody were around, he would do it exactly the same way. So Rabbi Nizal says, a person has to see to it that his limud should be akel emes, to be drawing himself rak to emes, shelo yetzei shum sheker mipiv la'olam, not to let a single falsehood, a single lie come out of his mouth ever. Afilu betos, shelo bekavono, even by accident. How is that possible? The answer is it's very possible. If you're conscious, if a person is davens to Hashem constantly, show me, give me this chus, protect my mouth, purify my mouth, that I should be zeicha, that no sheker should come out of it, Hashem can put a filter on a person's mouth to allow the person to be protected, not even to say sheker betos, to be so sensitive to it. Just like we hear examples of tzaddikim who were zeicha to have such pure ears, that the tzaddik would be sitting in a room, somebody would be talking lashon hara, and somehow, for that second, the tzaddik's ears were turned off. They asked him, did you hear what I was saying? No, he didn't hear. What do you mean he didn't hear? You were sitting an inch away, you heard the rest of the conversation, how is it that you didn't hear this? The answer is because this person worked on himself enough, and was mispalel enough, and elevated himself to such a madrega, that the organs of his body were in control. They weren't just happening, not to anything that fell in went in. Whatever went in was controlled, just like what comes out is controlled. So Rabbi Nizal says, V'oz Hashem Yisborach Yishkoin Imoy. When a person is zeicha to behave like that, then Hashem is shoichin with that person, v'yoir loy, and Hashem turns on a light for that person, v'yuchal be'es tfilosoy, lefaresh kol sichosoy, v'lishboich kamayim esliboy, v'lifnei Hashem Yisborach. Such a person, when he'll start davening, he'll be given a clear lane. Not that he'll get stopped at the first block, he'll see all green lights in front of him. He'll be able to keep moving, he'll start speaking, and he'll find he's able to talk not for 5 minutes or 10 minutes, but for 40 minutes, for an hour, for 2 hours, he could go on talking endlessly. It flows like mayim. Ulevayer be'imrei piv kol ma shechoseloi begashmius v'ruchnius, and the person finds that he's able to express himself verbally to Hashem, describing in detail every single thing that he needs begashmius and v'ruchnius. Va'oz yisoyeru rachmi Hashem yisporach olov, and then the person can be zeichet to arouse Hashem's pity and Hashem's kindness on him, v'yaz in shavosoi, and Hashem will listen to his tefillah, v'yimalei kol mishalei sliboi letoivo, and Hashem will give him everything that he needs. Here he's giving you a little bit of definition on what's taich shifchi kamayim libech noichach pnei Hashem, Allah this Torah, based on the advice that's being given here about being sensitive to this mid of emes, bishlemus, in your Torah, in your tefillah, and in your hanhoga throughout the day. Period. This is the end of the explanation of this story in the Gemara based on the concepts that we had so far earlier. Now we have a few appendixes to this chapter on Likutei Moran, like additional paragraphs that are going to bring in new concepts that are sort of peripheral to what we learned earlier. Now Rabbeinu Zal says, "Utfila hi bechinas nisim." Tfila, till now we spoke about tfila being synonymous with emuna. Now Rabbeinu Zal says that tfila is a concept of miracles. Shehi ein derech hateva. Tfila is the opposite of derech hateva, of things being natural, things being designed by fate, that it has to go this way. Ki lefa'omim hateva mechayev ezedovor, because there are times when nature would dictate that a certain thing should happen a certain way, that the ocean flows this way. V'hatfila mehapeches es hateva. And tefila is able to reverse the teva. Tefila is able to force a change in the yamsuf, or other changes, a reversal, a person sick. And through all natural means, there's no possibility of this person coming out of this sickness alive. You get a doctor who's seen 100 people in this exact state, and 100 out of 100 died from it. And you get number 101, who knows about tefila, and applies it properly, the right way, with all the advice that's given here, and we see suddenly that the standard procedure is overridden, and the person outlives the doctor in certain cases. There are cases, Rahman al-Islam, where doctors gave up hope on patients, and they call the relatives already, this person definitely going to be dead within 24 hours or 72 hours. Certain doctors, unfortunately, are very lacking in a bedside manner, Rahman al-Islam, and ends up that the patient lives to see the doctor go, Chas v'shalom, Rahman al-Islam. In certain cases where the patient outlives the doctor, and we see the doctor wasn't necessarily in charge of stating with such factual, with such positiveness, that the person's going to die. He can only say what he sees in front of his eyes, knowing full well that Hashem is in a position to intercept and interrupt and change whatever is natural, what would naturally be expected to take place. The Ikra Hanisim Hainu Ikra Tfilo Einoi Ela Beretz Yisrael. The main place for miracles, which means the main place for tefillah is only in Eretz Yisrael. Kamei shekosov, as the Pasuk says, Shechon Eretz Ure'ei Emuna. The Pasuk says in Tehillim, live in the land. Eretz Stam, the Gemara says, is always Eretz Yisrael. Live in the land, Ure'ei Emuna, and cultivate faith. That in Eretz Yisrael, that's the center of Emuna for the world. Which means it's the emuna zu tefila, and we know that emuna is synonymous with tefila. Kemoy shekosu vayhi yodov emuna, that Moshe Rabbeinu's hands were outstretched in emuna. Kitargumoy, like the targum says there, prison bitzloy, that his hands were outstretched in tefila. Period. So we see that miracles, tefila, are synonymous with Eretz Yisrael. Ubishvil ze hi govoya mikol ha'arotzos. This is one of the reasons why the Gemara describes Eretz Yisrael as being the highest of all the countries. We find the term Vaya'alu. Whenever the Torah discusses a person going to Eretz Yisrael from any other country, it's called Aliyah. Why? Al Shem She'ikar Hanisim Shomheim. That's based on the fact that Eretz Yisrael is the center of miracles. Uksiv, and there's a pasuk in Yeshaya that says, Harimi Nes. Lift up a sign. Rum means high up. Rum, nes. That a nes is something that's way up on high. It's associated with gavoya, high. So therefore, Eretz Yisrael, which is the center of Nisim, Eretz Yisrael is called gavoya. Gavoya mikol ha'arotzois. Ubishvil ze nikras Eretz Kenan. This is also one of the reasons why one of the nicknames of Eretz Yisrael is Eretz Kenan. Kenan, loshen soicher. We know that in Hebrew, the word Kenani means a merchant, a soicher. Bechinas emuna, kamay shekosuv emunoscha sivoisecha. As we learned earlier, soicher is the same letters as the word schoir, the Aramaic word schoir, which is the targum of the word soviv, which is synonymous with emuna, which is synonymous with tefillah. So all of these things are tied in. Why Eretz Yisrael is Govoya? Bechinas Neis. Why Eretz Yisrael is Kenan? Loshen Emuna, Loshen Tefila. Kenani is Seicher. The Seicher is this Schor, this Ve'emunoscha Svivoisecha.
V'zeh shomru chazal. This is why the Gemara says in Tainus, Eretz Yisrael shoyse tchila. That when Hashem is mashpia to the world, Eretz Yisrael receives first, Eretz Yisrael gets the first portion, and then the rest of the world gets its shefa. V'hakshomim bo'emei hatohimois. And we know that the rains come from the depths of the earth. Tohoim means the depth of the earth. Kemoshekosuv tohoim el tohoim koire lekoil tzinoi recho. That the depths of the earth call out to each other for the water to come up through their pipes. Utohoim loshneis. And the word tohoim, which means deep, the word tohoim also means miracle. Kemoshekosuv, as the Pasuk says in the beginning of Rus, vatehoim kol hoir. The whole city was amazed. And the Gemara says, ki al neis, haynu al dover chidush masmihin. When a miracle is something that people are amazed at. This loshen vatehoim, wonderment, is over a miracle. So we see that this word tohoim, which is the mokor for geshem, the mokor for shefa, is from the tohoim. And the word tohoim is also synonymous with miracles. Vatehoim kol hoir, this amazement from a chidush like a miracle. And we know that the place of miracles is Eretz Yisrael, so therefore the place for rain, which comes from the Tohoim, is also Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael shoyse tchila. V'zeh shomer chazal, this is what the Gemara says in Tainus, koil hatoyer nishma bartzenu. The Gemara there quotes the posuk hanitzonim niru ba'oretz, the flowers started blossoming forth from the ground. Koil hatoyer nishma bartzenu. And the sound of the dove was heard. The bird started flying around. The word toyer means a dove. The word toyer also means a shoyer, an ox. And the Gemara over there discusses the malach that's appointed over rain is Ridyo. The malach hai Ridyo damya le'iglo tilsa. That's similar to a shoyer. Takes on the appearance of a shoyer, an egel, uprita sivavose, whose lips are open, you know, in tefillah. So we see that this koil hatoyer nishma bi'artzenu. The toyer represents this malach whose memuna over geshem. Where is it heard? Nishma bi'artzenu, in Eretz Yisrael. This koil ha-toyer is dafkin Eretz Yisrael. Linyan kshomim. The Gemara brings it over there regarding geshem. Ki ikra ha-kshomim nishma be'Eretz Yisrael. Because the main source for geshem, the main location for geshem is dafkin Eretz Yisrael. Ki shom ha-tohoimois. Because that's where the tohoimois are found. Hainu hanisim. The word tohoim taking on this meaning of vatehoim, miracles. Hainu emuna tefila, which is synonymous with emuna and tefila. The main place for that is in Eretz Yisrael. This is why we find that even Jews that live in other places of the world, sounds like the halacha is strange. Just because Eretz Yisrael gets rain during a certain season, if I'm living in an opposite place in the world, why should I be davening my tefillas geshem, my mashiv ruach mar dagoshem, or my Saint Talamotor based on what's going on in Eretz Yisrael? Sounds unfair. Shouldn't that be dictated by whatever place you live in? The answer is no. Because when your country, a person living in any other country of the world, before any shefa is sent there, it's got to go via Eretz Yisrael first. Just like the Gemara says that when a person is mispalel bat chaveroi, the Gemara says, if a Jew davens for somebody else, for a certain thing, for health, for parnosa, for whatever it is, and you're in need of that item also, then what happens is, as a result of your davening for the other person, Hashem gives you the item first. The Mefarshim explain why. Because what happens is, the same way the tefillah goes up to Hashem, the shefa comes down. When you're davening, when Reuven is davening for Shimon to get something, then Shimon's needs are coming up to Hashem via Reuven. When Hashem sends Shimon what he needs, the first stop is Reuven. First it passes through Reuven. And if Reuven is in need of that same item, he gets hold of it first. The remainder is sent to Shimon. It goes via the same way. Here also, any shefa that's distributed to any other country in the world, first it goes through Eretz Yisrael. If Eretz Yisrael has enough, then it goes out, it trickles out to other places in the world. If not, it's the opposite. Now that we're in Golos, Rachmon Eitzlan, now that we're in a state of Golos, this is how it's conceivable that we find the reversal, whereby it's made to look as if Eretz Yisrael is dependent on the funds of Chutz Loretz. It's as if the rain has to come from Chutz Loretz to support Eretz Yisrael. That's simply because we're standing on our heads. We're in Golis now, so everything looks upside down. The truth is that this is the center of Shefa for the world. The center of wealth and Shefa and everything good is from Eretz Yisrael. It's because we were Golino Me'artzenu, because we did the wrong thing, we were Poigem in the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, therefore it's made to appear as if the opposite is true. As if Eretz Yisrael is the poorest, and Eretz Yisrael has to come on to American aid, and all of this baloney, all of this nonsense, when in truth, those other countries are existing only for the sake of Eretz Yisrael. The whole world exists only Bishvil Yisrael, because of Bnei Yisrael, and specifically because of Eretz Yisrael. Now Rabbi Nizal says, that's on one side, that's on the right side of the fence. On the other extreme, we know that Kedusha, in order for there to be free choice, which is the tachlis of the creation of the world, there always has to be an equal balance. The Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur used two seirim, a soyer l'Hashem and a soyer l'Azazel. These two seirim were supposed to be identical. They had to look exactly the same height, everything perfectly the same, unable to tell any difference between them. One was the highest Kedusha, the holiest Korban of the year. The other one went la'azozel, which is Rachmona Litzlan, outside, way outside the Kiddusha. The Sifrei Kabbalah bring that the word azozel is the Roshei Tevois of the words ze le'umas ze osa elikim. That Kaviyochel Hashem always creates Kiddusha and Tumah as equal and opposite forces in order that there should be Bechira. So if there exists in the world a location called Eretz Yisrael that's Govoya Mikol Ha'arotzos, and it's Shoyset Tchila, and it's the center of Emuna, and it's the center of Tefillah, and it's the center of miracles, then you should know there's another address a couple of blocks down, right across the Taba, right nearby, there's another address that's the Zeh L'Umaseh, that's the exact opposite. The opposite of miracles, the opposite of emuna, the opposite of tefillah, the opposite of geshem, zero geshem, the opposite of all of this kedusha. V'zeh L'Umaseh osolikim. Kaviyochel Hashem made the exact opposite of Eretz Yisrael. U'mitzrayim hi hepech Eretz Yisrael. Egypt represents the epitome of tumah. This is why it's inconceivable for a Jew that has any sensitivity to Jewishness that they would allow themselves to travel to Egypt, Rahman al-San, unless it's for some life and death manner or something like that. It's definitely inconceivable for a Jew to take a trip to Egypt knowing a little bit about what the Torah says and about what the Shulchan Aruch says. That Paro said these words, that the Arizal explains that when the Jews left Mitzrayim, they cleaned out all sparks of Kedusha that were in there whatsoever, so that a Jew has no excuse just about whatsoever for going there, because there's nothing to be misak in there. I'm saying, if you're told that something represents the epitome of sewage of the world, the opposite of Eretz Yisrael, you want to visit? I think it.
No, I was asking.
Sure. Well, a person visits a bathroom also when they have to. That's what it is. Literally, that's what it is. The question is, what about the Arizal? The Arizal lived in Mitzrayim for a short period of his life.
The Rambam.
The Rambam. The answer is obviously, by them there was specific. Obviously, they knew that they had to be there for certain reasons, etc. But for people like us, unless a person knows like they know, unless a person gets inside information like they got, where they got their papers clearly signed from Hashem, they knew exactly where they had to be. For us, it's assumed that a Jew's whole yearning should be to be zecher to be in Eretz Yisrael, not in the opposite of Eretz Yisrael. So Rabbeinu Zal says now, Kamoi Shekosov, as the Pasuk says, U'mitzrayim nosim likrosoi. Shemitzrayim l'umas. The word nosim is the same letters as the word nisim. Mitzrayim nisim likrosoi. Mitzrayim is the opposite of miracles. Le'umas Eretz Yisrael, the opposite of Eretz Yisrael, Le'umas Hanisim, u'bishvil ze ein mokoim tefila b'mitzrayim. And therefore, Mitzrayim is not a place for tefila. K'moy shekosuv, as Moshe Rabbeinu said clearly to Paroi, kitzeisies ho'ir ephrois iskapai. When Paroi asked them, please daven for us, that this plague should be removed, he said, sure, when I leave the city, I'll daven. Why? Because in the city, this city is the opposite of tefillah. B'shvil ze kishepogam Avram b'Eretz Yisrael, and it's for this reason that we find that when Avram Avinu was poigem in Eretz Yisrael, b'shoshiv tiyachoy HaKadosh Baruch Hu al Yerushas Oretz, when Hashem promised him that his descendants would be zeichet Eretz Yisrael, Omar b'mo eda, and he said, how will I know? What is das? Das is the opposite of emunah. If Hashem told him, you're going to get Eretz Yisrael, he was supposed to know that Eretz Yisrael is the epitome of Emunah. The worst question you could possibly ask is Bamoeda. How am I going to know? The whole concept of Eretz Yisrael, the whole existence of Eretz Yisrael is not, a person wants to take out a pen and paper and figure out, how do I live? I want to work out a budget in Eretz Yisrael. I want to see exactly how it's possible to live on such a salary. Person has to know that Eretz Yisrael is above pen and paper. Eretz Yisrael is Bechinas Nisim. So that in certain cases where rationally it would be impossible to justify, irrationally it's very justifiable. And it works. If a person has the proper emunah. As a result of being poigem in Eretz Yisrael, what had to take place? They had to go down to Mitzrayim. It's a seesaw. When this is up, this is down. You leave this end of the seesaw, automatically you go to the other end, a pendulum-like. Ki pogam bo emuna, because Avram Avinu, in a certain sense, was poigem in emuna. Hainu Eretz Yisrael, bechinas nisim. Vayordu Yaakov uvonov leMitzrayim. Who were the ones who actually ended up going down to Mitzrayim, fulfilling this curse? It was Yaakov Avinu and his sons. Sheshom hepech hanisim. Mitzrayim is the opposite of miracles. Shezelu mazeh. V'yordu dafka Yaakov uvonov. Why specifically Yaakov Avinu and his sons went down to Mitzrayim? Ki hu pogam b'Eretz Yisrael, b'chinas tefillah. Because Avram Avinu was pogam in Eretz Yisrael, which is the concept of tefillah. V'yordu Yaakov uvonov, shehem b'chinas tefillah. Therefore, what had to go down to Golus? Tefillah had to go down to Golus. Who is tefillah? Tefillah is Yaakov Avinu and his sons. Shehem Yud Beis Sharei Tefillah. They represent the 12 gates of tefillah. Valide Sheikra Tefillah Im Yaakov Avonov Kanal. And because the main concept of tefillah is Yaakov Avinu and his sons, Alide Ze Loi Zochul Eretz Yisrael B'chinas Tefillah Elo Yaakov Avonov. Therefore, who were the ones who ended up being Zeichet Tefillah? Eretz Yisrael, Yaakov Avinu and his sons. K'moy Shekosav, as the Pasuk says, to whom did Hashem promise Eretz Yisrael? Hashem said to Avram Avinu, ki b'yitzchok yikore l'chozora. And the Gemara darshins b'yitzchok v'loy kol yitzchok. That a small part of Yitzchok Avinu, which is Yaakov Avinu, will be zeichet to be the true zera who will inherit Eretz Yisrael. That's what the Pasuk is talking about over there. B'yitzchok v'loy kol yitzchok. That it would only be Yaakov Avinu Uvonov, who when they would go down to Mitzrayim, when they would complete the tikkun that they had to accomplish in Mitzrayim, then they would be the ones to go back to Eretz Yisrael. They would be the ones to enter into Eretz Yisrael. This.
Yes, in Marcos, wasn't that Nisim that took place in Eretz Yisrael?
Took place in Mitzrayim. Any answer to that? What about the 10 Marcos that took place in Mitzrayim?
It was a one-time deal.
One of the things that I think I once heard is that even with the Eser Makos, there was a certain concept of being not touching the ground. That Kaviyochel, even when the Shekhinah went down to Mitzrayim, it didn't touch the ground itself. And that's why the Meforshim work about answering the Makov Kinim, exactly how that worked, to explain it. There are certain Ramazim to show that even in the case of the Eser Makos, there was a certain Mechitza-like that was kept from this Tumah of Mitzrayim. Or we could say even better, Rav Nosson Zal says on Likutei Halachos, that when Hashem, nowadays, when Hashem wants to give a person a Yeshua, a person has any kind of problem, where does Hashem draw the Yeshua from? He draws it from the Soif, from the Kates. Meaning, for example, when a person's in Chutz Laretz, they want to make Aliyah to get to Eretz Yisrael. They don't have money, they don't have this, that they're lacking all kinds of things that'll make the bridge for them from where they are to Eretz Yisrael. Rav Nosson Zal says, how does a person go there? If the person develops real ritzonos and kisufin to get Eretz Yisrael, what happens is Eretz Yisrael itself shoots out a beam of light, in a sense, like a laser beam, to where he's at in Chutz Loretz. Knows the thing that he's yearning for, just as he has a yearning for it, as Hashem he'emir chayoyim, Hashem emartayim, Hashem, knows this two-way traffic, where when you have a yearning to Eretz Yisrael extends a hand to that person and reaches out to the person in Chutz Loretz to tow him in, to pull him in, so that the Yeshua, in other words, how could the Yeshua come in Chutz Loretz? The answer is it's not coming in Chutz Loretz or from Chutz Loretz. It's actually a piece of Eretz Yisrael that's reaching out to him. That's what happened by the Yidden when they were in Mitzrayim. It was this concept of the oil of Eretz Yisrael that entered into Mitzrayim, in a sense, to give them, to tow them out, to pull them out. And there's a lot of proofs to this. Rabbein Ezal has a turn on Likutei Moran later, Reish Nun, I think it is, where Rabbein Ezal brings proof to show how all, that's the whole concept of Shabbos HaGodol, how the miracle, the beginning of the miracles of Yitzis Mitzrayim took off from Shabbos HaGodol. Why? Because Shabbos represents Olam Haba, the Soif, the Kates. Shabbos represents the miracle power. On Shabbos, we live without going to work. What are we living on, Anshe? How does a person exist without working, without Derech HaTeva? The answer is Shabbos represents complete miracle, Olam Haba. And the whole concept of the Yeshua of Yetzias Mitzrayim, beginning from Shabbos HaGodol, implies this concept of drawing from this future light, that kind of thing. Obviously, it's the same thing also, that these 10 makos were actually Eretz Yisrael, corresponding to the Eser Kedushos of Eretz Yisrael. The Mishnah says at the end of Kalim that Eretz Yisrael has 10 levels of Kedusha. Those 10 levels of Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael reached out to Bnei Yisrael to pull them in. Or even one stop earlier, the Aseres Hadibrois. There were two tachlises in the Yidden getting out of Mitzrayim, to get to Torah on Har Sinai, to get to Eretz Yisrael. Both these 10, the 10 Kedushas of Eretz Yisrael, the Seres HaDibrois, being able to bring about, to affect Nisim inside the Tumah. Just like we have the concept of Tosfos Shabbos, that a piece of Friday becomes Shabbos, a piece of Sunday becomes Shabbos, that at that moment Mitzrayim was turned into Eretz Yisrael for a short period of time in order to begin this Yeshua that would yank them out of there, that took them over the border outside of Mitzrayim. We'll just do the next paragraph. V'zeh shomer chazal. This is why the Gemara says in Tainus, Ein hagshomim yordim elo b'shvil emuna. That Geshem comes to the world bedafka in the zechus of emuna. Hainu b'chinas Eretz Yisrael. Again, the concept of Eretz Yisrael. Shehi b'chinas tfila, b'chinas emuna, v'hi shoyse tchila. Eretz Yisrael draws the shefa first. Sheshom hatohoimois, b'chinas nisim. Eretz Yisrael is the place of miracles, which are synonymous with this tehoim, vatehoim kol hoyir, which is synonymous with the mokir of rain, which is tehoim el tehoim. Afilu pruta shebekis, v'zeh shomer chazal, this is what the Gemara says over there, b'sho shehag shomim yordim, that when rain comes down, afilu pruta shebekis misboreches, even the penny in a person's pocket receives a bracha. That Geshem is considered such a symbol of bracha that when it comes, even the shefa that a person already has, even when it's already in his pocket, becomes multiplied. It receives a charge from it. Pruto zebechinas koil hatoyer. This word pruto, which means the coin in the pocket, also corresponds to the sound of that dove. The Omru Chazal, the Gemara says over there in Tainus, describing rain, Hai Ridya, that there is a certain malach, Damya Latoyer, which takes on the appearance of a shoyer. Uprita Sivavose, and its lips are open, V'kaima bein tohaima le tohaima. And this malach is suspended between the two tohaims, the tohaim ilah and the tohaim tator. Shehu kolol mishnei ha-tohaimais. This malach is kolol from the two tohaims. Shehu klolius hanisim, which represents the totality of miracles. The shefa kfula of Eretz Yisrael, the whole concept of shefa kfula, Shabbos, which is miracle, is symbolized by kefil, lechem mishnah. Eretz Yisrael, lochein ba'artzam, mishnah yir. This concept of double being a concept of miracle. V'ze pruta shebekis shepa'omim niskase koyachanisim. There are times when the power of miracles is hidden. People don't see it clearly. They don't believe in it. Val yidei akshomim nizborech ha-pruta. And through geshem, the pruta receives a bracha, haynu hanisim, which means these miracles, the prita sivavose, representing this shoyer whose lips are open, representing the lips moving. We learned earlier in Torah Zion the concept of tefillah. We'll take this up in more detail in the next shiur.